Why do we pray? What real difference does it make in my life or in the lives of others? Listen in on a prayer conversation today to find out the answers on Love God First. Welcome back, listeners. So happy to have you here with me today. I have a special guest I'm really excited about, my good friend, Nancy Hill, who has been a prayer warrior the entire time I have known her. And we're going to be talking about prayer today because last time on our podcast, remember, we talked about how the enemy had usurped the authority of Adam and Eve, but that Jesus has reestablished the authority because he has all the authority. And now we've been re-empowered, we've been reauthorized, we've been reassigned to destroy the enemy's plans with our prayers. And so today we're going to be talking about what does that look like? How do we do that? And what's the best way to effectively pray? So Nancy and I are going to have a conversation and we just are inviting you to come with us. And I just to set the stage a little bit, I want to read Matthew 10:1. Where Jesus is talking to his disciples, his 12 disciples, and he says, "And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness." But he didn't stop there, because after he was resurrected, he commissioned everyone. And he said in Matthew 28:18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Very familiar and inspirational Bible verse there. And what is it saying? It's saying basically Jesus is commissioning us as his people now to do the work that he was doing here on earth when he was here. And of course, that involves prayer. In fact, I would say before any of that other stuff can happen, the prayer needs to come first. Wouldn't you agree with that, Nancy?
Definitely.
Yeah. Can you tell just a little bit about your own journey with prayer? Like, how did you get started? What are you doing now? Just tell us a little bit about you.
I think when I got saved, I was lucky to be under a teacher who really talked about prayer and taught to pray specifically. And so that kind of got me started. I was so hungry for God. I was such a sinner that knowing how much he loved me, that I just started reading my Bible and praying. And I would ask God, "How do I get to know you more?" And so that pretty much is what got me started on it. And what am I doing now? So I work in prayer ministry at our church. We have, you know, what's wonderful, sometimes we'll have 12 or 16, and sometimes we only have 4. But it doesn't matter. If you have people who have a heart to pray, you only need 2.
Amen. Amen to that, sister. Okay, so now why pray? Why do we even do it?
You know, I thought that was such an interesting question, and I started to answer it with, we're called to pray. God tells us, pray without ceasing, and there's all kinds of scripture, but what does prayer do? Why do I pray? And I think this is where the head and the heart learn to connect with God. This is where we have our walk in the garden with God, is in prayer. And so it's where our relationship with him develops. We learn to believe him. We learn to believe the Bible. It's where we get refreshed and energized. There are times when I'm so aware of his presence, his sweetness. It's like, oh, I don't want to ever leave this. And I'll think, why do I sometimes struggle to have prayer with him when this is what it is? And it really changes us. You know, we have all this wonderful time with him that's so sweet and so good. But also another reason to pray is that he will correct us and he will tell us. I'll never forget when I was a newer Christian. I'd been saved 2 years probably. And he drew my attention to a sin in my life, which was gossip. And he said to me, he said, "You have murdered many with your tongue." That's pretty serious. And I had to process that. And that is what we do when we gossip. And I thought, well, I wasn't telling lies. It was true stuff I was sharing. But I don't know the heart of that person. I don't know what's going on. And they may be struggling with issues. We don't know. And so maybe it is true, but maybe they're trying so hard to not do whatever it is. It was just spending time with him and learning to listen and sitting at his feet. I asked God, may I come and sit at your feet during this time of prayer? Yes, there's this wonderful, loving awareness from him, but also he cleans us and he tells us, his discipline, his rebukes, they still are delivered with such love. So I used to struggle with what is sanctification and to think that I would be a sanctified person. It's like, no, I have so many uglies in my heart. So for him to come and clean us and sanctify us by showing us these sins, and it's just, I'm so glad he does. And plus, it's so exciting when God answers our prayers.
I know why there's always a resistance to it, is because the enemy knows how powerful it is and he doesn't want us doing it.
Yeah.
And so our flesh too, of course, but there is a real battle to do it because prayer is so important. It lays the foundation for so many things for the Lord to do. One thing I know that we're not doing when we pray is we're not informing the Lord of anything. He knows before we even ask. I know, like when you and I pray, so for our listeners, Nancy and I are prayer partners. We pray most weeks. I mean, sometimes life gets in the way, but we pray most weeks. We've been doing it for years, years and years. We're committed to that. I like that we do go through prayer requests, but we don't have to spend a lot of time doing that because we know, of course, the Lord knows it already. But I kind of like doing it because it's like praying twice, because we're saying it all out and then we pray it too. And so it's like two times we get to bring the Lord our stuff, but we don't inform him of anything. That's not why we pray. We're not doing it to convince him, right?
Or beg.
So let's just talk about, like, have you ever seen prayer truly work?
Yes. There was a time when Brad was on a yacht in Seattle. He sold countertops and stuff like that. I was doing something else and the Lord just prompted me to pray for his protection. So I felt it was serious, and I actually stood up and put on the armor, like went through the motions of putting on the helmet and the everything in place for him, and just prayed for him a little while. When he came home that day, this is before cell phones, so I couldn't call him. When he came home that day, I asked him, did anything happen about 1 o'clock? And he thought a minute and he goes, oh, why? Well, he had to go to his car and it was down on the docks and it was not he did not feel safe. There were a group of men that were watching him. And he said, I just felt like I was in danger. So he got in his car and started praying. I just feel like God totally protected him and kept him safe.
Wow.
The young boy I told you about who was sick, God had told me to go to the hospital and pray for him. And so it was after our mini church training session with other pastors. We were studying Dean Sherman's spiritual warfare book. And I felt very strongly that I had to go to the hospital and pray for him. And so Brad said, well, I'll just come with you. So we went, and we went in the room. And the whole time we're there, I kept sensing a spirit of death pacing back and forth outside the room. And so I was like, oh, what do I do? Should I tell them? And so when we were done, the dad walked us to the elevator and I told him. And now remember, this young boy couldn't speak very much. He had a medical problem and only his family really understood what he was saying. But I told the dad and he said, yeah, he keeps saying the dark man is outside to take him. There were several steps that the Lord had going on, but the church And I know there were so many people praying for him, and he lived. And last time I heard about him, I think he was at least a teenager. And it sounds like he was fine, that maybe everything God protected and healed.
Wow. Praise God. Those are exciting. Oh, I love hearing about answered prayers. Here's one I have. I was driving in an industrial area in the Tacoma area about sunset before cell phones. I was just myself and my 2-month-old son in the back in the car seat. And all of a sudden the car just tanked out on the side of the road. It just stopped. The electrical system just completely stopped. I barely got it over. And I grabbed the steering wheel and said, "Jesus, this is really serious. I need you now. I need your intervention now." And I look up and I saw what I thought was like a taxi cab. So I got out of the car thinking I could wave this guy down. And then I hear my name, Katrin. And I look over and it's my friend and her husband who are driving along on the road. And it was the signal had stopped. And so they were just coming to a stop and they said, "Do you need help?" And I said, "Yes." And so they pulled over and took my son and me to my parents' house. And we eventually got the car and everything. But what an instant answer to prayer.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I was so grateful for that. And I've seen answers to prayer for longer times too. That was instant.
Yeah.
So I love those. Some of them take long.
Some prayers take years. But I, in the beginning, because I didn't know God until I was 32 when I got saved, I felt so spoiled by God, because I felt like every single thing I asked, he answered. It's still exciting after all these years. It's still exciting as he answers prayers, and he wants to. He's waiting for us to ask. There's so many things you have not because you ask not. There's so many things that don't get healed, people who don't get healed, or situations that we just don't ask. And God is moving on us sometimes. Pray for this.
I know for me that I take that very seriously. Like if I'm praying for something, I'm like, "Okay, Lord, I'm inviting you into this situation, and it may not get invited in any other way. And so I've got to take this seriously." Like Jesus said in Matthew 5, when he's talking about the Lord's Prayer, he says, "You know, let your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. May your will be done." That's in the imperative. That's a command. It's like, this is going to happen. And so for whatever reason, there is an authority that the Lord has given us. And we, if we don't use it, then that has an impact. That has an effect if we don't use that authority. Okay, so let's talk about authority then. What if a person doesn't feel like they really have authority, like they're feeling like, "Oh, it's just me. What are my little prayers going to do?" You know, what would you say to a person that thinks that?
There's two things. Number one, if someone feels that way, they need to get to someone who can pray for them and break the lies. Because if you have surrendered your life to God or to Christ, you have authority. He tells us over and over. Jesus gave us all of his authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead. And we just don't believe and have trust that God's going to do it. I would begin praying for someone like that, or me, because sometimes I've had dark times where I just don't know why, but I had situations where I wasn't fully engaging with the Lord. And so I had depression. I just pray, "God, help me. Help me to believe your truth. Break the lies that I'm believing, and help me to discern truth and to grab hold of it." One time I was so bad, I would care if I got to that point. And this time I just had a hard depression, and I felt like, I don't even care that I don't care. Because normally I would care and I'd start praying, "God, help me." The only thing I could pray at that point was, "God, give me the want to, because I don't care." And I would pray that several times a day, but that's all I could pray. And he did. He delivered me out of that.
One thing about my own process with this is, I know a lot of times if I don't feel a certain way, I just have decided it doesn't matter, because I believe what the Bible has said. So whether my feelings are coming along or not is irrelevant. I'm standing on the word of God, and it's not being a hypocrite, because I believe these things. It's just maybe I don't feel them. And so I'm going to lead my feelings. I'm going to say, "Come on, come on, feelings of inadequacy. We're going to the cross and we're going to go to the throne of God right now. And we're going to boldly come and declare the truth of what the Bible says, that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. That's what it says in Hebrews. And so that's what I'm going to believe. You know, so there's a taking your mind and sort of forcing it to come along.
Yeah, we have to press in. God isn't a respecter of persons, and He loves every one of us. That's the amazing thing.
There's more to be said about prayer and learning how to pray effectively. So remember to come back next week to hear the rest of the conversation. And don't forget to share Love God First with a friend.